All right, so to start things off, we're actually going to show a couple of videos. The first video is just a slideshow presentation of the trip in general, like things we did, sightseeing. And also the video after that, Maya Case and Hannah Case, they're actually serving today. They're at Camp Barnabas. There's a team there, I believe. And, you know, I'm so glad that they're there, but we had them record a video, just their experience on this past trip. Now, really quick, this worship team that we have, we do this every Sunday night that we have youth. And it's come a long way. Skylar actually opened up with We Are More Than Conquerors. Well, probably about 2 years ago, Skylar would play that in the youth room just by himself. We've come a long way. So, and that's all from God. That's growth from God and the next generation. Yes. So we have our first video, and then right after that, we'll jump into the next one.
I think something God had really taught me during the week was just not to be, like, over-judgmental. There's this verse in the Bible where it says that you should think of others as better than yourself no matter what. And that's always a really hard thing for me. So it was really cool getting to go and, like, be with these kids who are having, like, a really rough time, or, like, they probably came from mostly broken homes and didn't really know what love is. And we just got to come in and teach them about Jesus and share our love with them. And one of the days we were at Lookout Mountain and got to, like, weed, which was my favorite thing. I got to talk to these two guys who were part of a program where they helped clear the mountain. And he was Muslim, and he had thanked me after I was asking him all these questions about his religion. And he was like, thank you for asking me about my religion, not to judge me, but to know more and not to argue with me about it. So God really showed me that your words really do matter. And loving shares other people also. I think the most challenging part of the trip was definitely just being in such close quarters with strangers. I mean, we're just into this room and we got 40 other girls in there and they're all really excited to be there, so they're talking all night, no one's sleeping, and we got a lot of hard work in the morning. And probably that I wasn't allowed to have coffee, that was really hard on me.
My favorite part of the trip was working with the kids. Even though we only did that for 2 days, it was actually a lot of fun. And the kids are so adorable, and they love you, and they love seeing you. And it was really hard to say that we weren't coming back the next day, and we only got to spend time for 2 days. But I got to know so many of them, and I feel bad because I couldn't remember all their names. But that was so fun, playing with them and then teaching them. I got to do storytelling, but we talked to them about the parable of the lost sheep. I think what God showed me on the trip was how much attitude matters. Like, being in the mountain, be there, think about how gross all the bugs were, how sweaty you were, and how hard it was to clear trees and stuff. Or you could think about all the paths you were making and how it was actually a lot of fun whenever I started to see the progress. And then when we went to the kids' club and worked with them, I personally liked that best. But, I mean, the kids were... They like to touch you a lot and hug you and love on you. You can get mad at them or you can just have fun or show them affection back. The most challenging part of my trip to Tennessee was probably on Lookout Mountain. We pulled a lot of weeds and we're renovating areas for trails. And they don't use bulldozers because they want to be gentle with the land. Because I think it's where a war happened or something.
A lot of battles during the Civil War in that era and in that area, and yes, there was actual fighting on Lookout Mountain where we were at, so I'm told, at least. So me being a history teacher, yeah, I love that. So first up, we have Skylar Barker. He's going to share, so come on down.
Good morning, everybody. So before I really get started here, I'm trying to remember the actual name of the song, but I think it's called Through It All or something like that. How many of y'all are familiar with that song? I know some of you should be. And we've done it for youth. I don't remember if we've done it in church or not. But that song, of course, it starts out. It says, through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. It says, so let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and winds still know his name. And it goes on, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, and it repeats that. You know, we sing songs like that in church, and we listen to those things, and they're all, I mean, they're very good, spirit-filled. You know, we say things like, let go my soul and trust in him. And that's easy enough to sing. But, I mean, how often do we actually let go of ourselves and our priorities and trust that God has it under control? As Christians, we are taught from day one to put our trust in God and to follow the plan that he has for our life, to let go of what we think is best and follow him. And I have a few verses I'm going to read. I don't know if they're putting it on the screen or not, but we hear verses like, walk by faith and not by sight. That's, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:7. The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. That's Proverbs 16:9. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4. And therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Matthew 6:34. These are just a few examples of, you know, many times throughout the Bible where it talks about, well, it's reassurance, really, that if we trust God, he will give us what's best for not only us, but our families, and he's going to take care of us. But regardless how many times it says it in the Bible, for some reason it is still so hard for us to do. You know, if someone were to ask you or me, you know, anybody who's a Christian here, if they trust God, more than likely your answer would be yes, without hesitation. And, you know, I'm sure many of us are confident that God has a plan for our lives and that he's going to provide for our needs and that he'll protect and care for our families and, you know, the big things, if you will. But, you know, I think sometimes the hardest things for us to trust God with are the little things in life. And by little things, I mean the things that we don't think are big enough for God to have to worry about or the things that we supposedly are in control of. You know, whether it be, you know, our job situation, you know, or school, or your, you know, dealing with your friend or your family, you know, things like that that are supposed to be our problem that we have control of. excuse me. I think sometimes those are the hardest things for us to trust God with because we think we have it under control. You know, for me personally, it's a lot easier for me to trust God with something that I don't see a way out of, or that I know is going to require some kind of supernatural intervention. But for the things that, you know, I'm supposed to plan my way out of, that's a little bit different story. The question I'm really here to ask you all today is, do you trust God to use you where you're at right now? This is the same question I believe God asked me before we left on this trip to Tennessee. Now, in the weeks leading up to the trip, I'd been struggling with having, we'll just say, a bit of a bad attitude towards the whole thing in general. And you think I'm kidding. You can ask my parents, but no. And I'd heard that we'd been doing some service projects and things like that, and honestly, I didn't know all the details. But, you know, I knew that we'd possibly be clearing some trails for the Conservancy on Lookout Mountain, as well as maybe spending some time with some local kids and things like that. And that's all fine and good, but how is that going to make a whole lot of difference with anyone is what, you know, was going through my mind. All right, great, you know, we cleared some trees, but how's that benefit anybody's eternity? You know, and I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, it was bad. Like, looking back, I mean, it's like, gosh dang, how narrow-minded, you know? But, so, anyway, what, you know, and of course, when I found out that originally, we thought it was just going to be our youth group staying at the church. And, of course, we found out pretty much the day of that there was, and that was just a miscommunication. It wasn't, you know, but we found out there's going to be 60 or 70 other people staying there with us. And pretty much anybody who knows me knows that I just assume, you know, hang out with the same four people the rest of my life. And so You know, that didn't make anything better. We'll just, you know, say that. And, you know, of course, these kids are, they're, some of them were loud, a little bit obnoxious. I mean, they're from completely different backgrounds than where I'm from, you know, and I can tend to be a little bit judgmental anyway. And so that was, it stretched me quite a bit, you know, and so we get there Sunday night, you know, and these other kids start showing up, and I was doing all right. And, we had brought me and Tyler and Silas, and we'd all brought our guitars and stuff because Tony had said we might be able to play some music throughout the week, so we brought that. And after we unpacked, we got to messing around and just playing a little bit. And one of the leaders from Youth Works that normally does the music for the week, he got out and played with us some, and so that was fun, you know, kind of eased us into things a little bit. But you know, I remember we, stuff like the orientation and things like that kills me anyway, because I get bored, you know, because that's basically all we did the first night is, you know, explained to us what we'd be doing and all that. And so I was kind of a little bit cranky the first night, and I remember laying in bed, and, you know, I remember I was kind of talking to myself and complaining to God a little bit. And, you know, I was like, you know, this is going to be a long week, you know? And I mean, that's what went through my head. I was like, this is going to be a long week. And so, but I remember laying there just kind of stewing with myself. And, you know, God just told me, he said, you know, he asked me, he said, do you trust me to use me, to use you where you're at? Because at this point, you know, like I had explained earlier, I didn't see what the good was going to come out of this. You know, I didn't see what the point was. I was like, all right, I'm here, you know. And he basically just told me to trust him. Just do what you're told and let me take care of the rest. And so I did that. And the first day wasn't too bad. My group, there was four different groups. I don't remember what they were all called. Mine was called First Love is what it was called. And it was with Rick and Sherry and Tyler, and I think some of the Figaro kids were in there. I don't remember everybody. But so the first day we went to Lookout Mountain, and we were clearing what was basically an overgrown trail. It had been cleared at one point, but it had grown over. And so we're clearing little trees out of the way and stuff. And these people don't believe in chainsaws, so we're doing it with a hatchet. You know, so I'm... And it was hot, you know, and meeting new people, which wasn't too bad. I met some pretty cool people on Lookout Mountain, actually. They're really nice. They're really inviting and stuff. And they, you know, they talk to you like they'd known you for 5 years. And so we were doing that, and that wasn't too bad. I started enjoying myself a little bit. But when I really realized just how poor my outlook had been was Tuesday night, when me and my sister and Silas and there was like the guy from Youth Works I had talked about played guitar with us earlier, and one other girl. They're usually the only two that do worship there all week long, all summer long. They'd been there for like 7 weeks. I think they're there for like 9 total all summer. And so they, of course, they saw we had guitars, and they're like, hey, you know, we can get a break here. Like, you want to, you know, why don't you take a turn? And so... like I said, the three of us, and I forgot about Tyler, he jumped in there too, and so we did worship Tuesday night, and which I play worship for youth group, I've played for various things, and so it wasn't that big a deal necessarily for me, but you know, we got up there, and of course you play up here, we have microphones and amplifiers and, you know, all the bells and whistles, and, you know, there we have a guitar and a dark room full of kids. And so it's a completely different atmosphere. And so we got to play in, and just to see, you know, these kids, some of which I'm going to be honest, really didn't even like necessarily. They were kind of, you know, on my nerves. And to see these kids that, you know, they don't know me, they don't, nobody knows anybody. We're, you know, 4 or 5 different church groups coming from all across the country, but we all worship together as one group. And it didn't matter who was from where. It didn't matter, you know, who liked who. That's just the way it was. And so after that, you know, I kind of stopped and took a look at myself and went, well, you know what, maybe something can happen here, you know. And because I, you know, I believe to a certain extent God can only do what we allow him to do. If you're not willing to let him use you in whatever you're doing, then he won't. And that, well, not to say he can't, but most of the time he won't. You know, he gave us free will. And after I kind of stepped back and looked at myself and said, hey, maybe you're the one who's wrong here, the week was completely different after that. Amen. And, you know, and it wasn't even big things. It was just, you know, we went back to the mountain a couple more times and worked. And, of course, we went to some of the local, like, athletic centers and stuff and played with the kids. And, you know, it wasn't necessarily – I'm the kind of person who I like to see a result, you know. I don't like to just work and then, all right, you worked. I like to see the outcome. But, you know, for this week, I was content just to show up and do my part. You know, because there are some times that you're not going to see the end. You're not going to see what happens. I don't remember where the verse is, but there's a verse that says something to the effect of the one who sows, the one who waters, you know, they don't matter. What matters is God. They're just an instrument. God's the one who makes the seed grow, you know. And so that was kind of a lesson for me, not only to trust God, but to just do what I'm told, you know, as simple as it sounds. And so then Thursday night, we ended up playing worship again Thursday night, and Thursday night is where we had everybody wash their feet and everything like that too. And that was a pretty powerful night, really, if you were there for the right reasons. And so I guess the whole trip, not, you know, we were there, we helped the kids and we helped the conservancy and all that, but personally I think this trip was also for me a little bit, because there are some things that I kind of needed to learn and some things that I needed to deal with. And you know, I think sometimes we think of God as this stiff giant up in his golden chair, and you know, God has a sense of humor. I mean, you know, because things like that, you know, is basically one of those I told you so type things. And like, well, I can't really complain. You know, I mean, it's my fault. So, but, so yeah, that's pretty much wraps up what the majority of what happens with me. I could talk all afternoon, but, so yeah, I'll go ahead and I'm just going to pray real quick and then I'll bring Tyler up for you. But, oh, actually, before I do that, I want to say thank you to everybody who helped fund the trip as well, because it wouldn't have been possible without you. So for everybody who, you know, participated in the gun raffle and, you know, the meal and things like that and just donated just because God told you so, you know, whatever, just your obedience has greatly aided not only our youth group, but kids in Tennessee. So, but, dear God, I want to thank you for allowing everybody to come out here today, and I pray that you would be with everybody as they come up here and speak, and I pray that you would just speak through them, and I pray that you just speak to the audience, God, and everybody here, and just I pray that everything would go well, God, and that everybody would have a great afternoon. In Jesus' name. All right, Tyler Early's next.
Howdy, y'all. Okay, the hardest part for me on this trip, I think, would probably have to be keeping a cool head and not being selfish, because I'm not really a people person, and I don't like trying new things. I like to kind of keep myself in my little circle, and in this environment, I was surrounded by both, and not having coffee in the mornings was not helping. One thing that God showed me was he opened my eyes to the bigger picture and why we were there, which wasn't to satisfy my needs because, you know, we're in Tennessee, I want to go to Nashville, I want to go to guitar shops, but that's not why we're there. But it's to meet other Christians and worship him. I think my favorite part was probably working on the trail with all the volunteers. Because they actually try to get to know you, and they love to have fun while they're working hard in the hot sun. I mean, they were incredible. And I picked out a Bible verse, Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Yeah, short, sweet, and to the point. Next up is Sierra.
Hey, everybody. So, I'm not, like, super big on public speaking, so I've decided in exchange to do an interpretive dance just for Tony. You guys cue the music back there? Okay, no, I'm just kidding. That was a joke between me and Tony, and I wanted to mess with him, so. Okay, so I have a few points. I have a few points here. Most challenging part of my trip was probably just having patience and keeping a good attitude, because with all those kids, like, I was also under the impression that we'd be the only group there at the time. And when Mom came up and told me there's going to be like 60 kids, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. So I guess on this trip, God opened up my eyes to the bigger picture, and some things that he showed me, or some things he did for me, were he did give me patience, sharing a room with all those different people and stuff, and then working with all those kids at the community center, having patience with them. And at first, I did kind of have maybe not the best attitude because of that. So he just kind of said, it's not about you, you're here to serve me, you're not here for yourself. So, and he kind of showed me how blessed I am, because those kids we're working with, most of them, they are from broken families, and, you know, they might act up or whatever, but he just said, you know, they don't have the training you do. So you need to just be patient with them and just let them have fun. My favorite part of the trip was working on Lookout Mountain. I like being outside, and it was a lot quieter out there. And all those interns working there are really friendly, and they like to talk to you and stuff. They act like they've known you. The Bible verse I have is Romans 15:1-2. It's, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. So that's kind of stuck with me, I guess, that I was there to help the other people that didn't have what they needed. So thank you, guys. Next person is Victoria.
Hi. So before I start, I want to thank all the people who donated for the trip. It really was very helpful, like Skylar said. Just thank you for buying the raffle tickets and help you and for the meal. So I guess in the trip, one of the hardest parts for me was just getting to know the people and then having to say goodbye to them when I didn't really know them that well. I like making new friends, so it was really hard for me to say goodbye, but I did enjoy getting to know them when I had the time. It's kind of funny. So in First Love, some of our church got put with one of the other churches, and me and two of the other girls were riding with that other church to Lookout Mountain, and one of the boys, so Rick was following us with Tyler and Skylar in his truck, and one of the boys said, "Oh, look, it's the people from the Redneck Church." It was really funny because one of the girl, he did not realize that we were sitting right in front of him. And one of the girls was like, she was like, "Some of them are right in front of you. You did not just said that." It was really funny because that's how I started to get to know them. Yeah. But it was really nice. So the Bible verses I chose was 1 Thessalonians 5:11. "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing." Because, like, while I was there, I felt like I wouldn't have made it through if I had not made new friends. Because, like, it just, that's not how I work. And then one of my other ones is, "Two are better than one, because they have had a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and does not have another to lift him up." Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10. So, yeah. That's pretty much the same thing as the other verse. But, yeah. And now I'm going to hand this over to Silas Barker.
Hey, everybody. Like Victoria's saying, I'd like to thank everybody for supporting us on this trip and donating money so we could go on it. I think the most challenging part of this trip would be working with all the little kids that I didn't even know, and I wanted to be outside on Lookout Mountain getting hot and sweaty and doing work out there, but kind of realized that these kids, like Sierra was saying, they have broken homes, and they really need somebody to love on, and I come to like helping with them. And I think what God did for me, he kind of showed me that this trip wasn't totally, that I was going to have a fun time on it. Because like they were saying, we thought we were going to be the only youth group there. So when all these kids start coming in the same room as us, we kind of started freaking out a little bit. But yeah. And I think my favorite part of the trip would probably be going to the nursing home, because it was nice to see when we walked in there, all of them have smiles on and they're happy that somebody's coming to see them. And my verse that I have is Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as we're working for the Lord, not human masters. That's what I kind of had to keep in mind working on Lookout Mountain was this is for God, and doesn't matter what I think or what anybody else thinks, but it's for him. So that's all I have. And now I believe it's Antonio's turn.
Hello. So before I get started, I'm going to try and keep this brief. But first, how many here bought a t-shirt or raffle ticket? Now that's a lot of people. And it shows that you are really dedicated to helping us all get a better education of God. And I thank you for that. And I guess the best part of the this entire trip was really what God was telling me the whole trip, to have friends and be social. I rarely get out of my shell, and I probably wouldn't have gotten out of my shell as much as I did if before that trip I hadn't just gotten back from a trip with my relatives. And I had a lot of fun with them, but when I went there, the fact that I had just gotten back from that trip left me more open than I usually was. And I allowed more friends to come in than usual. Actually, one of my friends, I actually got a friend because I accidentally thought it was a girl. Well, at the time, he looked like one. The week was just so great. Actually, it was so great that the worst part actually wasn't part of YouthWorks. It was after it. I made the mistake of going to the mall with only girls as company. But while I was thinking of what I was going to use as a verse, I had actually thought of one verse. It seemed to convey the message I wanted. But when I asked God, he showed me an entirely different verse. If you guys could pull it up. Luke 7:3. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and heal his servant. And I was really confused because that was nowhere near the message I was trying to convey. But when I looked at it really closely, I realized God was painting a picture. The centurion is like the an everyday Christian. All of us are like the centurion. The elders of the Jews are like our mentors. Everyone has someone who taught them how to love Jesus, how to properly worship him. Everyone has one. The servant that needs healing is the is our unsaved friends. I would be surprised if someone told me that they didn't know someone that wasn't saved. So I looked at it and I realized it was a picture, and it was basically the ordinary Christian asking the elders to help him in asking God to heal his friend, to let him know about Jesus. There was so much power in the air on the last night we spent with each other. Like, seriously, after the worship, there was a lot of hugging going on. I was also a part of it. But there was just so much power flowing all around the room. I could practically feel power just overflowing out of me. And, well, I honestly think that that was God's most, one of God's most intimate times with me. One of the times that he really showed his face. And I just pray that he'll show me even more of those. And that he'll show everyone in this church the power of God.
Amen.
And with that, I'd like to hand it off to Mr. Tony.
All right, yeah, so we've heard a lot of great things today. I'll be brief. Just some things that the Lord shared with me on this trip. First of all, just like all of our youth have done, I just want to say thank you for those who prayed for this trip, prayed for our youth, the leaders. I also want to thank those who donated money through fundraising, or you just donated money. And without you guys, we could not have been as successful on this trip without you. So thank you. Thank you very much. Now, kind of on a lighter note here, every year when we go on these youth trips, I always seem to get a little bit closer to God, okay? And this youth trip was no exception, okay? So just a few lighter things that got me closer to God, so to speak, stretched me a little bit. So first of all, the first thing, you know, just taking some teenagers, you know, halfway across the country, going on a mountain, sweating, getting hot, nasty, and dirty. That's so much fun. It got me soaked. I was like, yes, Jesus. No, I loved it. The second thing. So about halfway through the trip, in the church van, there's a certain smell. Okay, you will smell. It's very pungent. Okay, and it kind of sticks in the nostrils. Okay, so it, you know, just a nice mix of B.O. and, you know, all that fun stuff teenagers bring with them, okay? The next thing, so you guys heard that, you know, we slept in a room with, you know, a bunch of other groups and stuff. So the boys were lucky. We were actually in a room by ourselves, a very small room, but we were in a room by ourselves. So the sleeping quarters. And, yeah, you saw in the presentation, there was a bullet hole in one of the glass windows that the room we were in. So, yeah, that's nice. But the sleeping arrangements, we were so tight in there that when I'd wake up in the morning, I'd roll over, and God love him, I'd roll over and I'd see Antonio's face, okay? So, no offense, I'm used to waking up to much prettier things in the morning, okay? Now, I was also told that at least I wasn't heard, but I did not snore on this trip, so that's a blessing for them, you know? But in all seriousness, one of the things that really got me close to God was, I mean, this whole trip, every time we go on a trip, it's just a good time to bond with this group, to get closer with this group, and to just love them. Get to learn them on a more intimate level. And trust me, we learned a lot about each other that week. Okay, so, and I think it's a picture of how it's going to be in New Jerusalem. Maybe not next to Antonio, but yeah. All right, so on a more serious note, the first thing I'm going to talk about, and I'll be brief here, is discipleship. Okay, and seeing these youth in action, seeing these youth go to these rec centers and just plow ahead and work with these kids, teach Bible lessons, play games, hang out with them, you know, just being there and taking charge, that's part of discipleship, okay? Now, I'm going to go ahead and read some scripture here, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, I'm going to actually ask you guys to do a little bit of a strange thing here, and just bear with me. If you have been a part of a certain ministry, I'm going to ask you to stand up and remain standing. If you're involved with it in the past or present, I'm going to go ahead and have you stand. Okay, if you were involved in the nursery. Go ahead and stand. Children's Church. Let's see what else. Bible Adventure Hour. Preteens. If you've been involved in any vacation Bible school at all, or let's go a little old school, if you taught some Sunday school classes, okay? And then finally, Pastor, go ahead and stand up. So without you guys, okay, you guys were faithful. You all were faithful to do what God called you to do, okay? God told you to do for a season or even right now to teach children, okay, to be involved in their lives, okay? This youth group, especially a lot of them that grew up in this church, they have been impacted by you, okay, because you were faithful. You were able to say, hey, God, I'm going to put my hands to the plow. I'm going to invest in them. I'm going to teach them the Word of God, or even, I might even just be there or change a diaper or whatever. So right now, I just want everyone to give you guys a round of applause. Okay. And you guys can sit down. You don't have to remain standing for the rest of the service, I promise. So discipleship, okay? You all that were faithful in this church helped our group. And they're not a finished product by any means. Okay, we know that. And we're still working on them in the youth. And without you, they would not have been able to do these awesome and great things. Okay, that let's go and teach these children who are unruly, unbehaved, don't know Jesus. Let's just go out there and do this thing. Because you all did it first. Okay, because Christ did it through you. So thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. Now, one other thing about the rec center, the Vacation Bible School expression. One of the youth work staff, she came up to me and, you know, she'd been there all summer. And she came up to me and she said, your group, these kids, they behaved the best when you guys were here. These kids listened the best. These kids behaved the best when you guys took the reins, when you guys took over. So I'm going to say that's a huge accomplishment. That was something the Lord has just been doing, okay? So I'm really thankful for that. Now, one last thought about discipleship. You know, our God is a God of multiplication. Our God, he is into multiplication, not division, because division is evil. Okay, I hate teaching division to kids. But and that's what's going on in this church. That's what should happen in a healthy church. These youth are the next generation. These youth are going to take over someday. Okay, and we've got to, as adults, do our part to teach, correct, and admonish the next generation, because they're eventually going to do our job. All right, so one final thought here, or not really thought, but concept. I'm going to read through the washing of the feet, when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. So I'm going to go ahead and just read that. Now, first of all, you know, my feet actually got washed too. All the adults' feet got washed, as well as the kids. Now, my feet stunk at that point, okay? So I was more than welcome to it. And there were a few youth that I washed their feet, and yeah. But anyway, you know, just a little humor. So I'm going to go ahead and read this. It's John 13:1-17. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And the supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Okay. This part of Scripture became living to me, okay? I have actually been a part of a few foot washing ceremonies, activities, whatever you want to call it, and they're powerful, okay? That night, it was just like icing on the cake for the week. That activity made the entire trip worth it, and it helped the kids realize that this trip was not about them. You heard a few of them say that. Okay, I had to learn that this trip was not about me and what I needed. But this trip was to teach these kids how to serve, how to set themselves to the side, and do what really matters, to serve Jesus Christ and to serve others. And the foot washing, I just want to say that, you know, sometimes in ministry you get to do really cool things. This is probably the top, for me, one of the top things that I've got to do in ministry. And it was an honor. I got to wash Skylar's feet, Tyler's feet, and actually Maya's feet. The other adults, Sherry, Aaron, and Bobby, they got to wash the other's feet. I actually got to pray for them too. Very specific things. And I'm going to tell you, it was an honor, a blessing. It was one of the coolest things that I got to do on the trip. And it was all worth it just for that. And again, you know, I just want to say thank you for all that prayed for us, who donated, and what you guys have done. It's going to ripple in the kingdom of God for many, many years to come. So with that, I'm actually going to go ahead and hand it off to Pastor Ron.
Appreciate that. Appreciate the heart, what came from the group, a heart to serve. Serve the Lord of gladness. You only got a little time left, by the way. You know, Jesus talked about the fact that the night is coming when no one can serve. And so you're in the daytime right now, but approaching afternoon, late afternoon, evening. And to be God's faithful servant, to be able to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And if you're not serving, if you go about life like Tyler was talking about, he went into the trip, you know, what's this going to matter, all about me, or Skylar, sorry. And if you're going about life like that, may that be conviction that God has given us this journey, he's given us this trip called life. And as Christians, it's a privilege to be able to serve him. Jesus exemplified service, and now we get to serve the Lord. And hopefully, we're serving with gladness. Hopefully, we're working heartily as unto the Lord. And God has given us all a reminder today. If you're serving, carry on. If you're not, then see, how can I serve the Lord while there's still time? You don't want to be ashamed of yourself when the Lord comes and takes you. And yeah, you were saved, but your service was minuscule or null and void. And so God would spare you from that. And so let us stand and we'll pray. First things first, we could close our eyes. If you have not believed in Jesus Christ, you don't even have the ability at this point to to serve the Lord of gladness. You're serving sin, you're serving yourself, and you're serving the devil. But I've got good news. Jesus Christ came and gave his life, lived perfectly so we don't have to. Whoever believes on Jesus Christ will be saved and forgiven. If you'd like me to remember you in prayer after the service today, Pastor, please pray for me. I don't know Jesus. I know about him, but I don't know him personally. I don't have a relationship. Just raise your hand so I can pray for you today. You're very important to God. Brothers and sisters, a couple things. You want to continue to serve the Lord of gladness. It's not always easy. Like on that trail, hot and sweaty and irritable, but they plowed on. You want to continue to serve the Lord with gladness and be faithful. Jesus was faithful for you and I. We need to have that faithfulness to him. Secondly, perhaps you're not serving in some capacity, and you'd say, Lord, help me. I want to serve you in the way you designed me to serve. It may or may not be in this church per se, but to be serving the Lord in this world, in this during this trip called life. Either way, just I want to pray for you. Raise your hand. I want to continue to be the faithful servant. Lord, help me to find my place so that I can legitimately hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter to the joy of the Lord. God, I pray your blessings upon your servants to be. I ask that you'd help us all, Lord God, to not be like the world where it's all about me and my concerns and being served. But Jesus, just as you came into the world, not to be served, but to serve and to give your life as a ransom. Help us, Lord, to walk in your steps, to be like unto you, and to enter into glory, enter into rest and joy, Lord, when at the appointed time. And the great thing about it is that those who serve you are more fulfilled anyway, even in the heat of the day, this life, than those who are just consumed with their self. Praise you, Lord God, that we can serve you. Your blessings, your favor upon your people as they go in peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Godspeed.